I think many, if not all of you, know that Simeon was going to be in Africa over the course of the past 10 days, I think it was, and was actually planning on being back this Sunday when that trip did not happen because of safety concerns there. We agreed, and thank you, Simeon, for continuing the invitation that I would preach this morning. It's a real joy to be with you. If we have not met, my name is Michael Wilson with Aaron Cox Holmes. I'm the deployed staff of the presbytery, and that means that we're the two who are out with congregations. Aaron's actually with the Center Presbyterian Church in Southern New York County this morning, preaching for them, and I, of course, am grateful to be here. And Charlie Gross, who is, I think he's over at Trinity Berwyn preaching this morning, and I'm going there next week. So we're glad to be sharing around and grateful to support the 48 congregations in three counties with one congregation in Harford County, Maryland, 13,000 members of Donegal Presbytery, and grateful for your support. This morning, I want to say a word to you about the resources that we have. Of course, the financial resources that we have, some of which we access with these things, a few of which you may access with stuff like this, although some people don't even have this on them anymore, right? But which are under our care. Some of the resources that we attend to as we watch our watches, and something about the resources that are in here for each of us that many of us have cultivated carefully and come out with what we do with these hands and with our mouths. Hear what Jesus has to say. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear, for it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen to that. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we consider now your word, open our hearts that we might be shaped to follow our Savior. Amen. All right, I've got some baskets here. What usually happens when the basket goes by in a sanctuary? What usually happens?
You put stuff in, right? Well, guess what? You're going to take something out, all right? Guys, I've got three volunteers. My guys are going to, actually all three guys, they're going to come forward. In these baskets, there are pennies, dimes, and quarters. I want you each, so you guys are going to take them around, all right? Why don't you start over there with the choir, okay? So take out a penny, take out a dime, and take out a quarter, all right? You got it? Go. You know what? You might want to pass them, yeah, and then they'll grab their own. There we go. All right. Don't forget Pastor Simeon too.
That's right.
That feels a little unusual, right? To like take money out.
Yeah.
There we go. Now, some of you are already wondering, wouldn't it have been nice if you put in like dollar bills, $5 bills, and $20 bills? But this is the Michael Wilson budget version of this, all right? Or tens, that's right. Or tens, that's right. 50s, 100s, that's right. There's a lot of possibilities here that could be really good. All right. As you're kind of, we'll keep doing it as we're doing this. So if you got the penny, hold up the penny. You know, hold up a penny. You got a penny? Oh, yeah, let's get Pastor Simeon there. So what can you do with a penny? The answer is not much, right? So, hey, you know, I think they need some. Oh, no, they're good in back there. Why don't you go to the back there? Anybody think of anything you can do with a penny? Yeah, there you go. So you put a lot of pennies together, you've got something. That's right. Yeah, yeah. You can help somebody out. That's right. You can help the world out with a penny, can't you? That's right. Yeah. How about a dime? What can you do with a dime? Not much. A little more, but not much. That's right. 10 times not much is still not much. What can you do with a dime? Get a piece of bubble gum. That's right. There's still places you can get a piece of bubble gum for a dime. How about a quarter? What can you do with a quarter? You can save four of them, and then you got a dollar. That's right. Actually, you know what? Got a young saver here. You can save this stuff, right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well done, guys. Let's give these guys a hand. It's good. It's a little complicated to do. All right, so we decided with the penny we can do not much, but we could help somebody out if we give it away, or if we kind of give it away. With a dime, we can buy a piece of bubble gum. With a quarter, we can save four of them and have a dollar. What else can you do with a quarter? Some parking, that's right, you used to do a parking. Parking meter. You used to be able to make a phone call back when there were pay phones. So some of you, let's kind of go back in time. Some of you are old enough to remember, what did you used to be able to do with a quarter? You could buy quite a bit of candy, right? Buy quite a bit of candy. What else did you used to be able to do with a quarter? You could buy a gallon of gas with a quarter. What's that? You can do a dime. What did you used to be able to do with it? How about that? With a dime? Yeah, right. Yeah. So let's multiply a little bit. All right. We'll see. We'll test our math skills. Let's multiply a penny by 100. What do you have? Very good. What can you do with the dollar? What's that? No, still not much. Man, she's rough. Can't you buy something at McDonald's for a dollar? Right? You can get a cup. I can still find a cup of coffee for a dollar. I can't find a Starbucks cup of coffee for a dollar, but I can find a cup of coffee for a dollar. What can you do with a dollar? You could spend it. That's right. That's right. All right. Let's multiply our dime by 100. $10. Very good. What can you do with $10? You can do a little bit with $10, can't you? What's that? You could buy breakfast for $10. That's right. What else can you do with $10? What are you going to do with $10? You're going to save $10. You're going to spend a buck but save $10. Do you get a prescription fill? That's right. Yeah, there's some stuff you can buy. All right, let's multiply our quarter by 100. What do we have? $25. So what can you do with $25? Half a tank of gas. We're getting somewhere. What can you do? You could put it in the offering plate. You could. That's right. Yeah. What else can you do with $25? You could. That's right. You can get a pizza. A Sunday afternoon pizza. What would you do with $25? You could give it away to somebody. Yeah. So, roughly speaking, there's three things you can do with money. You can save it, you can give it, you can spend it, right? I mean, just kind of three broad categories of what you can do with your money. 36 cents is not a lot of money. 36 cents, who said the price? 36 cents combined with a lot of people, you start to get some resources. I mean, that's how congregations work, right? Like, we combine our resources. That's how presbyteries work. We combine congregations' resources. Multiplied, you start to get some more resources. What Jesus says, Jesus knows that he's looking out over a crowd of people, some of whom may have a lot of financial resources. I mean, they might have a lot of financial resources. Some of whom don't have that many. But he says to them, so you've got some treasure. And you know what? You now have some treasure. You got 36 cents worth of treasure. He says, you got some treasure. And he asks them the question that he asks you and me and us together. What are you going to do with it? You going to save it? You going to spend it? Or are you going to give it? And what he says is, figure that out, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. I want you to notice this. He does not say, get your heart right, and then you'll put your treasure there. He says, where you put your treasure, your heart's going to follow. So, sometimes we stand up front and we say, hey, really care about the life of a congregation and then give. I want to tell you, you want to care about the life of a congregation? Start putting your treasure in it. And then you'll be like, I wonder what's going on there. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder how they're using it. Where your treasure goes, that's where your heart goes. What you invest in. We know this. Remember, if you've got kids or grandkids, you invest in them and you really care about what they do. It's the same with ministry. The same with the church. You invest and you will start to care. Jesus gives two clues about how to make that choice. The first, he says, is you need to have healthy eyes. Now, let me ask, we got anybody here who's got 20/20 vision? Anybody here with 20/20 vision? Simeon. Of course Simeon has 20/20 vision. Anybody else? Yeah, and Allie. Hey, their kids are in good shape, right? So that's this. Oh, Sam just got glasses. That's right. So I'm wearing contacts. I'm like 2600 in this eye and 2750 in this eye. All right. It's really bad. Now, I corrected 20/20. It's okay if I drive home. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you're out there, I'm like, I don't know if you should be driving. But my vision's bad. So the first time I read what Jesus says here, which is, hey, have healthy eyes and you're really good shape, I thought, I'm in bad shape because, like, I do not have healthy eyes. That Old Testament scripture passage where it says, be generous and give bread to the poor, the Hebrew actually says, people with good eyes give bread to the poor. It's a metaphor in the Old Testament often for generosity. So, I mean, and so notice, you don't have to have good eyes to be generous, right? It's just like, you know, you're generous. You're considered a person of bright, good eyes. In the Old Testament, in the Proverbs 23, there's actually a passage that says, don't sit down with someone who has bad eyes because they won't share with you. So, I mean, that's just, it's an Old Testament thing, like good eyes, generosity, bad eyes, not so generous. So the people who heard this, who heard Jesus say this, knew that when he was talking about good eyes, he was saying to them, you know what, generous people, it's healthy. You want to start to take the resources that you have and find a place that you care. It starts with this fundamental choice of I'm going to be a generous person. I'm going to be a generous person. And folks, I'm convinced it starts with a choice where people go, you know what, I'm going to be generous. You're not going to become generous. You're not going to get more generous when you have more money. You either choose to be generous or not. And what Jesus says is, boy, make that choice. Choose to be generous. The way he says to make that choice is to stop worrying about tomorrow. It is to let go of the things that you and I cannot control. She said, why are you worrying about what you're going to eat? Why are you worrying about what you want to wear? My wife's out of town for the weekend, so I got up this morning. I marched over to my daughter's bedroom, knocked on the door, held the suit, the tie, and the shirt up, and I said, can I wear this? She said, no, it was a different tie, although this tie's wrong, it's on me, okay? Jesus says, why? Why all this anxiety about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what tomorrow's going to bring, when it ultimately does not make a difference? For Jesus, the ultimate choice that you and I make is, are we afraid of the future or are we trusting him with it? When you and I have decided that, then we're in a place where we can decide to be generous rather than cling. And then, folks, the treasure, the pennies, the dimes, the quarters, whatever they become in your life, whatever they are, you know, some of us can't multiply this very much to get what we've got. Some of us, to get what we've got, you would multiply this by a lot. Then you can invest it and care about the kingdom of God. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for this congregation, for all that they do and have done, for the generous spirit here. I pray for each person here who's bringing a pledge card, who's thinking about this coming year, who's thinking about giving, who's looking at the landscape of their lives. And God, help us to release fear, to stop worry, and to invest where you would have us invest in and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.